read verse 15. This is the eighth commandment. Thou shalt not steal. This command is designed to protect the personal property of man, and toward others, toward their possessions. And if the command is obeyed, it serves, of course, as a means of preserving peace within society. Thou shalt not steal. Again, it's for the good of society. If society were to follow the Ten Commandments, everything would be better. These are designed to better society, to protect society. So the commandment, this commandment, has respect to one's civil actions. It would certainly cover working. Thou shalt not steal. It covers buying, selling, and all the ways that we advance our outward estate. The command also implies a right to legitimately, and we put emphasis upon legitimately, acquire, possess, and own property. The very command, thou shalt not steal, again, implies that man has the right to legitimately acquire property. Stealing is not a legitimate way to acquire property. We have a right to possess and to own property. The commandment, like each of the Ten Commandments, is very plain, to the point, thou shalt not steal. It's not difficult to understand. People know what stealing is. Sadly, we live in a society where people steal all the time and many times don't even realize it. When, you know, you go to a restaurant now, and remember, there used to be a day when all the jellies were on the table. That's not true too much anymore. Why? Because people steal it. People, and they don't think that's stealing. To put 35 packets of jelly in your purse, that's stealing. To put one is stealing. But, you know, people just don't think of that as stealing anymore, but it is. Thou shalt not steal. And we, of course, live in a society, we have a culture that really is overrun with thievery. But nothing changes the commandment. Thou shalt not steal. Like all the other commandments, without exception, this commandment is universal. Doesn't matter where you go, the command stands, thou shalt not steal. It's timeless. Doesn't matter how much man thinks he is progressing and advancing, the command stands, thou shalt not steal. Like all the commandments, it's irrevocable. Also, like all the commandments, it is not dictated my circumstances. Because one is poor, perhaps starving, does not give them the right to break this command. Thou shalt not steal. While we're on that, when I believe in this country, people have a right to protest, they have a right to carry a sign and protest, but once you throw a rock through a window, you have now become a criminal. Everything changes. People like to intermingle the two. The police are interfering with our right to protest. No, you're talking about two different things now. Once you've picked up a rock and thrown it through the window, you're no longer protesting, you're now a criminal. And again, and then you go into the store and you take things out, that's stealing. That's stealing. Not only does the Bible condemn it, but laws of man condemn it as well. And then, of course, there are consequences, or there ought to be consequences for that action. As in all the commands, the eighth commandment is broad enough to cover both the inward actions of the heart and the outward actions of life. This, of course, is in the second table of commands, and God, or Christ, sums that up in Matthew 22, verse 39. The summary of the second table of commands is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the summary. The first table of commandments is, thou shalt love God with all thy heart, with all thy might. If you love God, you will keep the commandments of God. If you love your neighbor, you will not steal from him. You will not commit adultery against his wife or her husband. So that's the summary. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So to break this command shows a lack of love. It shows a lack of respect. It shows a lack of love. Notice in Romans chapter 13, Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through verse 10, owe no man anything. That doesn't mean, this is where people take scripture out of context, that doesn't mean that you're not to have a mortgage payment or car payment. That's not what it's saying. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. That's the summary. That's the foundation. For this thou shalt not commit adultery. For this thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. That's all the second table. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love, this love to neighbor, worketh no ill to his neighbor. So if we love our neighbor, that takes care of the whole second table. Certainly takes care of thou shalt not steal. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So the breaking of the eighth commandment, as in all of the second table, is a display of little or no regard for man. It is a display of little or no appreciation for the rights and for the feelings of others. And the more self-centered society and culture becomes, the more these commandments are broken, and the more they are justified in breaking them. And so the breaking of this eighth commandment and all the commands here show an attitude of being self-absorbed, self-obsessed, self-serving in a lustful way. To steal from someone is self-obsessed. It's an obsession with self. And it, of course, involves coveting. I want that. I should have that. And they take it. So we want to consider, as we have in all the commandments, the prohibitions of this command. Theft, of course, is really the ultimate assertion of the greedy. It's the ultimate assertion of the greedy. It is a manifestation of greed. Thou shalt not steal prohibits, forbids the lustful life that emphasizes acquiring things with no regard for the rights and feelings of others. We can acquire things, but when we acquire things with no regard for the rights and feelings of others, we do it in an illegitimate way that's wrong. Theft is the epitome of selfishness. So the command forbids, of course, all forms of stealing. And just as it was in the seventh command, there are different forms of adultery. And so it is in the eighth commandment. There are different forms of stealing, but it still comes down to stealing. All forms of stealing is stealing. Every single form of stealing is stealing and breaks the commandment, thou shalt not steal. So what is stealing? Well, stealing in general, of course, is a taking that which belongs to another without permission or legal right. Stealing also would be a keeping to oneself to what is lawfully someone else's. You borrow something and you don't return it. I'm not talking about you put it away and you just forget. That's not what I'm talking about. But you know you have it and you take the attitude, well, I'll just keep it until they ask for it. That's stealing. That you don't have any right to do that. So to keep that which is not ours, or perhaps the person we borrowed it from forgot that they lent it to us, and we take advantage of that and keep it. That's stealing. That is a form of theft. But we want to begin with the highest form of theft. There is a stealing from God. Nothing can be worse. I mean, there is a stealing from man, there is a stealing from God. Certainly, a stealing from God is a higher degree of theft than a stealing from man. Having said that, that does not mean that stealing from man is no big deal. It's still wrong. It's still a sin. But the highest degree of theft is stealing from God. And really, it is the most common form of theft. And it is the most common form of theft amongst God's people. And there are different ways in which we can steal from God. Notice in Malachi 3, verses 8 and verse 9. Will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? That ought to immediately get our attention. Will a man rob God? The question is asked almost in an appalling tone. Will a man rob God? Could we even imagine robbing God? And he goes on and he twice states, ye have robbed me. God speaking. Ye, my people, have robbed me. That is an appalling crime, to rob God. To rob anyone is a crime. It is a crime. It is a criminal act. To rob God is a crime. It is a criminal act. It is a horrific crime. Will a man rob God? And then again, twice, ye have robbed me. And he goes on and he gives us, and it's the first one that comes to our minds naturally when we think of robbing God, it's robbing him in tithes and offerings. And that's what he's speaking of strictly in the context here. So notice in, again, verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In other words, they rob God and they're not even aware of it. And God tells them, in tithes and offerings. In tithes and offerings. As a result, ye are cursed with a curse. For ye, or in other words, ye are cursed, and here's why. For ye have robbed me. Even this whole nation. The whole nation was guilty of robbing God. And in verse 10, he gives some instruction. He says, bring ye all the tithes. All the tithes. And I believe that also refers to the tithes in which they robbed God. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. So the storehouse is his house. And prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, that is, prove me now by bringing your tithes, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven. That's quite a difference, quite a contrast with being cursed with a curse. I will open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. So one way that man robs God is by keeping to himself or herself the tithe and the offerings that belong to the Lord. Notice in, we're not going to get into a lesson on tithing, but notice in Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. Leviticus 27, verse 30. And all the tithe of the land, and then he breaks it down, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It's the Lord's. It belongs to him. Stealing is taking that which does not belong to us, belongs to someone else. Stealing is withholding what belongs to someone else. The tithe is the Lord's. It is holy. It is set apart unto the Lord. It is sacred. So since it is the Lord's, then it is not ours. Someone says, well, I'm having trouble paying my bills, therefore it is God understands for me to withhold the tithe and offering. That's like saying, I am having trouble surviving, so God understands that I steal something from this store. It's stealing. It's stealing. The command is, thou shalt not steal. Circumstances do not change the command. So since it's the Lord, it's not ours. And to withhold it is an act of theft. And again, it is the highest degree of theft that there is. A stealing from God. A theft of the highest kind. So that is one way in which we rob God. And that's the context here in Malachi 3. We can rob God in tithes and offerings. But another way that we can rob God is the withholding of ourselves from the Lord. We belong to God. To withhold ourselves from God is a form of stealing. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, familiar verses. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Okay, so the statement is that our body belongs to God. He emphasizes that from the negative. You're not your own. So it's twice said there in two different ways that we belong to God. You belong to God, ye are not your own. All these people that say, it's my body, I can do with it what I please. First of all, that's a wrong premise. It's not your body. And therefore, you can't do with it whatever you please. It's God's. He made it. It belongs to Him. Verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. So now if we're saved, every human being belongs to God by the act of creation. That body belongs to God because God made it. You and I that are saved, we belong to God because God made us. But we also belong to God even in a higher regard. And that is that we have been bought with a price. God has bought us. God has bought our soul. And then you find that word, therefore. Realizing these truths that we belong to God, that of course should transfer into practice. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Your body is God's. Your spirit belongs to God. So to withhold ourselves from God is a form of stealing. Romans 12, again, very, very, very familiar verse of Scripture. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, as by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. And again, going back to 1 Corinthians, your body is God's. That you present it a living sacrifice. Not to do that is a form of theft. Holy, that is set apart, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then he goes on in verse 2. But again, to withhold from God is stealing. Really, everything we have belongs to God. And if God commands us to give, and we do not, that is stealing. Doesn't matter the reasoning we come up with. We can all come up with reasons. None of that matters. It is a form of theft against God. Withholding ourselves from God is theft. Withholding anything from God, which He commands, is a form of stealing. God is the first owner of our possessions. We can go out, we can legitimately acquire property or whatever. We can do that, and we can do that and not sin. But you buy that, and God says, I want it. And you withhold it, that's stealing. Because it's all His anyway. It all belongs to Him. And God's not in the business of let's make a deal. That's how many act. Well, I'll do this. God, that's not the way God operates. That's the way man operates. Notice in Deuteronomy, and we'll close, Deuteronomy chapter 26. Verse 1, and it shall be when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance and possesses it and dwellest therein, thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to a place to place His name there, and thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come into the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket of thine hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. And one more in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. Proverbs 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance. And then he gets more specific. With the first fruits, not with the leftovers. With the first fruits of all. We're not just talking about money. We're talking about everything. Of all thine increase. So we rob God if we withhold tithes and offerings. We rob God if we withhold ourselves from the Lord. And we rob God when we withhold that which, whatever it is, we withhold that which God commands. And God commands the first fruits of all that we possess. So there are many forms, and we'll look at some more next week. There are many ways in which a man can rob God. And the very thought that it is possible to rob God, that it is possible to steal from God, ought to scare us to death. It ought to greatly concern us that we never, ever be guilty of stealing from God. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Again, Lord, we thank you for the commands that you give us, and we know, Lord, that you've given us these commands for the good of all mankind, and we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you've put hedges around our lives, and we pray, Lord, that you'd give us the grace to stay within the hedges that you put around our lives, knowing that by so doing, our lives are much better. We just pray that you'd help us. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with each one here today, that you'd draw us closer to thee. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.